Dalet. We're going to focus on Daf Dalet somewhat. We're also going to kind of, I'm going to try to make, do a little bit of a survey here. We've kind of learned the last four or five blot have dealt a lot of Hilchot Zrayim. So I'm going to try to just kind of go over a couple of interesting halachas and just point out a couple of interesting halachas we've shown in. Obviously, we're not going to do any halachas maisa, but just to point out a couple of things. Small survey, as I mentioned. We'll start in this week's blot, though. I just mentioned, actually, I think it's obviously known the Yom this week, Meretz Hashem, is Yom HaTzmod, which obviously not only we celebrate to a certain extent, you know, the Nisim and the Flos and what the Medina is meant for us, and etc., but also, as the Gemara and Sotah says, the Moshe Rabbeinu was mishtahabed to go into Eretz Yisrael because of the mitzvot, right? So the coming of this week's Heir, it's very applicable. Yom HaTzmod is very applicable to one of the mitzvot of Eretz as well. Okay? So with that in mind, we'll start the first sugya. We'll get into the machlokas on Yudalot Amar Aleph about Tu B'Shvat. It's actually a machlokas in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that there are four Rosh Hashanah Haim, right? And when it came to Rosh Hashanah Ilanos, there's a machlokas Tanayim. Beishamai said that Shvat is Rosh, that the Rosh Hashanah Ilanos is Echad B'Shvat. And as we know, Beisilo Paskin, that is Chamisha Serbo. That's the 15th day. What's an Afkamina? What is the significance of the 15th day of Shvat? Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. So that actually the Gemara and Daf Yoram Abeis taught us. The bottom of Testament Abeis, I'm sorry, the bottom of Testament Abeis Yoram Adal. So just turn for a moment. There's a ton of Rabbanan. You. The Bryce and Testament Bay says like this: Tanur Abanan Echad and Noteya, Echad Amabr, Echad Amarkit, Erev Shvi, Shloshimot Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. Also, if you do all these activities more than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, it's considered to be a year. Mutl Kaim Shvi'is, and therefore they'll be considered Peros Shishis, and you could actually go and eat them and during the 7th year. Pachim Shloshim Yom, but once you're into the 30 days before Elul, then it's not considered to be your Asur Kaim B'Shvi'is. And therefore, you cannot, they're considered Perishvi'is, and we know the consequences of Perishvi'is. And then the Gemara goes back to the first word of Yudam and Aleph. Uperos Natiyazu Asur Natu B'Shvat. And these Peros are going to be Asur until Tu B'Shvat. So what does that mean? So it's a little complicated, but just to keep things brief, just to keep things simple, what Rashi says is even though you may have gotten to the 4th year, you had year number one was 31 days. That was year number one. Then you had year number two. Then you had year number three. Comes Rosh Hashanah, you now have year number four. It's not good enough just to wait for Rosh Hashanah. You have to wait until Tu B'Shvat. Only at Tu B'Shvat is it now going to be considered the appropriate year not to be Orla. To the extent that before Tu B'Shvat, they actually bloom, it's going to be also a Kaiman. And the Gemara says, Minani Mili, how do we know this? Amar Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Umatu Ma Mishmed Rabbi Yanai, Amar Kra, Ubishana Harviz, Ubishana Chamishis. We have these extra psukim that teach us the 4th year and the 5th year. What does that teach us? Pamim Shabarviz, Vadayin Asura. Sometimes it's the 4th year, and as you've hit Rosh Hashanah, it's still awesome. Mishum Orla. Upamim Shabachamish, Vadayin Asura, Mishum Ravai. So what you see is, what you see from the Braisa is that the Torah is explicitly telling us that it's not good enough just to wait till Rosh Hashanah. There's a period after Rosh Hashanah they have to wait until. Right? But what the Torah, what the Chumash, the Gemara doesn't tell us, what the Tanaim don't tell us, and what the Chumash doesn't tell us, is when is that period? When is the renewed Rosh Hashanah? Okay? So that's the question. So, to that extent, there's a Machlokas Tanaim. Beishamai says that Rosh Hashanah is going to be on the first day of Shvat, and Beisola says that date is going to be on the 15th day of Shvat. So let's read the Gemara now and that, and Yudal Malf. Now, as they're trying to figure out what the Gemara in Yudal Malf is talking about, that there's this extra period you have to wait, and that's the extra Rosh Hashanah, and it seems like they just kind of picked that day out of their hat to do that. We're going to come back to that point in a moment, how they come back and pick that day out of their hat, but at least now there seems to be a Yisodistik Machokas. So my time, the Gemara says in the bottom of Yudal Malf, Amr Bilazar Boshia, Hol V'yatsu Rov Gishmei Shana. Since most of the rain has gone by. Most of the rainy season has gone by. The Gemara says the Tkufa, the winter season is still around. So the majority of the winter season is still outstanding. But the bottom line is, we look at Rov Gishmei Shana. So the Shaila is, what are they arguing about? What are Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel arguing about? Fine, we look at Rov Gishmei Shana. what are they arguing about? Why does Mishamlech say Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and why does Beisul say Tu B'Shvat? So Tosa says, Be'echa B'Shvat Ma'i Taima. Tosa says, ever see it? The Tosa says, Meforish Noli Beisul. The question, Ma'i Taima, is a question both on Beisul and Beisul. What's your reason, Mishamlech, El Shvat? What's your reason, Beisul, Tu B'Shvat? And the Gemara says, El Kamanaka, but we asked them Beisul, just kind of procedurally. And then, now Tosa tries to explain the Machlokas. So the Ma'ar is Man Chanitaso Shel Gishmei Shana Zu Echa B'Shvat, because according to the Beis Shammai, when is this Man Chanita? When is what is Chanita? Chanita means like the merging of the fruit. When do we have the emerging of the fruit? That is going as a result of the rain Echa B'Shvat. Ulamar B'Tesva B'Shvat, and according to Beis Hillel, it's Tesva B'Shvat. So right away, what Tosfos tries to do is he tries to take the Gemara that discusses the rain and say that what's the significance of the rain? The significance of the rain is how it results in the blooming, right? Right? Etc. Fine. So the question then is, what are they arguing about? Is there a machlokas metzias going on here? One holds that the blooming begins echa b'shvat, one holds the blooming begins tu b'shvat. It's shver. It's always shver to say a machlokas metzias, unless, I mean, maybe once in a while you have to do it, but it's very shver. So, today I want to say, my Rebbe Y used to say very often, he would base it on a rashba, in Pesachim, there's a machlokas whether we say Gidin Benosin Tam or Ain Gidin Benosin Tam, right? We know Gid is,
What
you
were just talking about.
Oh, okay.
An expert.
Oh, Gidin, alright, here we have it, okay. So tell us, is it Benosin Tam or not? No.
That's
just about
that, it's about all
Gidin. Yeah. So the Gidin Usher is also to eat. If there's a Tarova situation, is it considered Benosin Tam or not?
It absolutely has Tam.
Uh-huh.
Chalev does not have Tam.
Oh, really?
Correct. Huh. So Chalev.
The question is, and again, I don't know if in the kitchen one will know this. I always assume that in theory, if you taste it, and of course, it's
that's what
the question is. Is it inherently the taste, or is it the taste that it's getting from the meat around?
If it's done properly, there's nothing left. I mean, you have no meat left on the kid when you take it out.
No, it still has taste.
But that's the kid itself. That's the kid itself. The the other chaylev.
Okay, so what the Rashba says is that, how do you explain? One sheet of whole Gid doesn't have taste, flavor, taste. The other sheet has adults. How do you explain the Machlokas? So the Rashba says everybody agrees that there's some taste. There's a mixed taste. The Shaila is halachically, how are you going to define it? Is it going to be sufficient taste to give it a din tam? Or, since it's only a little bit, it's only a shtickle of taste, and therefore it's not going to have enough to be tam. So that's the machlokas. The machlokas is when you have a little bit of tam. When you have a dove that has a little bit of tam, how do you regard it? As a tam or ain't tam? But they're not arguing over the metzias.
I would say more balamadish. They're not arguing on diametrically opposed positions. They're arguing on a metzias that's only 2 weeks away.
Wait, so back, you're trying to apply that to machlokas b'sham b'sul?
In other words, if you have yesh tam or ain't tam,
right.
Those are mutually exclusive.
Okay.
But these are not two mutually exclusive positions on metzias. Only 2 weeks away, and it could vary from weather condition. It could vary.
They're still arguing. If you're going in your direction, they're still arguing Messias. They're still, the Sham is saying, it's more noted to be Rosh Chodesh, and Messias is more noted to be Tu B'Shvat. I'm not saying it's a wrong shot, but it still is Messias to a certain extent.
So if we apply
the Rashba here, the way I would teach it, is that both of them agree like this. Both of them agree to Messias, that maybe the Chanasa begins Tu B'Shvat, but it's not a meaningful Chanasa. The Chanasa begins Rosh Chodesh Shvat, but it's not meaningful. It's the beginning of the emerging of the emerging of the blasphemy, but it's not anything meaningful. Very good. Oh, now I'm going to deal with this. Good. So, and on Tu B'Shvat is when it really becomes meaningful. So Beis Shammai says, what we do is we look at the beginning of, as soon as it starts, we already know what the Gishon have done. The Gishmei Shana have worked, and now look at the results. So, it's not the meaningful part yet, but it's the beginning, that's what we look at. Comes Beis Hillel and says, no, it's not enough just to see the Rashis. So Beis Hillel is, Beis Shammai is saying, okay, fine. So it's not enough just to see the Rashis, we have to see the actual, the real, when it's really underway, you know, it's like when the popcorn almost, like you have a few pops, but you don't get excited then. But when all of a sudden it starts popping, all of a sudden, that's when you get excited. So maybe that's the whole, because there's the Metzias, they agree, but they're just arguing over that Nakuda. Okay? The other shot, it seems to be, to me, that the Rabbeinu Chananel has a different pshat. If you look at the Rabbeinu Chananel, this is the second wide line. Rabbeinu Chananel says, Be'echad b'shvat, Rosh Hashanah li'ilu and zifra b'shamay. Be'sil om b'tu b'shvat, v'kim the mai taima. Da'avagav sh'rov t'kufu min b'chot, even though most of the t'kufu is still outstanding. Hol v'yasu rov gishmei shana, since the majority of the water has already fallen. Misa'ashon l'shavah, therefore you mean ma'asar l'shavah. Perush. Matsanu z'man gishamim, ha'mo'ilim u'misanin b'hen. If you look at Masechet Tainus, one of the periods that we have Tainus for Geshamim, and Davin for Geshamim, Shigardim Yidzayim Cheshvan at Sof Nisan. The time when Tainasim for Geshamim is relevant is from the 17th day of Cheshvan until the end of Nisan. Okay? So if you count it up, Sarayim are learning this on Shabbos, so we didn't write it down, but it comes out to be, I think, maybe 180 something days. Okay? So then Rabbeinu Chananel goes by Turk, Mufurish Berk, Emasam is coming for his Geshamim. So he now leave it to Beis Hillel. Domri b'tu b'shvat yatsu v'mos kishamim yizayim v'cheshvan v'kitz v'tevus v'tu b'shvat har gimel chadash v'pachos gimel yamim v'nashorim yiz kishamim chachi shvat v'adim nisam v'beis chadash v'chesed hini yatsu rov gishmishan azu. So he actually makes a real calculation. He calculates the days from yizayim v'cheshvan to the end of Nisan. He divides it in half and he says Beis Hillel is glad because Beis Hillel tu b'shvat comes after half those days. But then you got to ask yourself, what's Bishama going to say? They both agree, Rov Gishmesh. The Gemara answered that even according to Beis Shammai, Rov Gishamim were already Yotze. Right? So according to Beis Hillel, Rabbeinu Chananel did a great job. He counted the days, split them in half, and showed how Tu B'Shvat comes after the majority of the days. But Beis Shammai is going to fall short. So what's the pshat? Right? How do you explain that, Machlokes then? So, anybody want to make a suggestion? I'll tell you what I was thinking, and then Benny makes a suggestion. What I was thinking is that what they're really arguing about is potential versus reality. Everybody's going to agree. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are going to agree that it's true. Halacha, you could fast till the end of Nisan. Because in theory, there's potential for it to rain till the end of Nisan. But Lamaisa, on the ground, how often does it really rain during Nisan? On the Messias, everybody agrees also. It doesn't rain during Nisan. So Beis Shammai says, yeah, you're right. In theory, it could rain till the end of Nisan. It wouldn't be a klal. It wouldn't be a terrible thing if it did. And would still have nafkaminas or gabi tainus. But Lamaisa on the ground, b'derach klal, when does it stop raining? By Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? So therefore, he looks at half from Yudzayin Cheshvan to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because that's the reality on the ground. Beis Hillel is looking at potential, and therefore Beis Hillel is looking until the end of Nisan. And still it's shayach to fast until the end of Nisan. Shayach Nisan, therefore that's...
One problem with that is that it's the opposite of the famous essay where Zevin.
Right.
Uh-huh. Zevin has a very famous essay where he strings together not only Hanukkah, the most famous example, but I think if I remember correctly, quite a few other examples where he shows that Beis Hillel is always actual and Beis Shammai is potential.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't, potential here doesn't mean
I'll give you an example, Hanukkah example.
Okay.
Beis Shammai says on day one we light 8 candles because there are 8 days left.
Right.
Still 8 days in the future. Beis Hillel says only one day because they've only done one.
Yeah, but I'm talking about they're looking at the nature of the world. In other words, maybe we could change the words. If we use different words, I forgot, I heard that Rav Zevin once. But let's just, if we change the words, the probability versus possibility. How's that? Beis Shammai looks at the probability, and Beis Hillel looks at the probability. Now we can move right there.
So Arab takes off as I left their apartment in Ramat Eshkol, and I looked up and I said, it looks like it's going to rain. And specifically, didn't bring a raincoat.
Guaranteed it would rain.
Yeah.
I went to shul that night. I davened for rain. I cried. After we got home,
this is Erev Pesach?
This is Erev Pesach.
Wow, I didn't know. You said Birkas Hamila?
Yeah,
oh, good.
My brother in Eretz Yisrael was wondering why it rained. Now I'm going to call him.
and it rained not for a long time, but it rained after we got home.
Wow, beautiful. Shkaya. Yeah. Appreciate it. So, two other just quick suggestions to try to explain Machlokas. One quick suggestion I was saying is that based on previous Gemaras, we've already seen the Gemaras asking how could you have, at first the Gemaras had a Havamina earlier on in the Masechta that the Rosh Hashanah Regalim is during the 15th day of Nisan. The Gemara said, no, it's a Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? There's maybe Beis Shammai agrees with Beis Hillel Rav Gershamim, but he wants to back it up to the beginning of the month. In other words, he feels that the Rosh Hashanah should come out on a Rosh Chodesh as well. Possibly, just to throw it out, possibly. The other suggestion I was thinking about, this actually I thought about a couple years ago, is that maybe they're arguing over the Chashiva, or how we should incorporate the concept of other training. In other words, as we know, that very often there is a second other, right? Now, why is there a second other? Is there a second other because we need Pesach to come out in spring? It's true, but is that kind of like a contingency plan second other, or we should actually factor in when we're trying to understand the calendar year? So it could be the argument over that point. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out. Just two thoughts that come to mind. What? Oh yeah. Oh, Shkoyach. Tonight?
And, yeah.
Oh. Okay. Fine. Great. Shkoyach.
I mean, really, the fixing it to the Jewish year is kind of a proxy for. I mean, we're talking about seasons.
Right.
And the rainy season is not really based on the solar year.
Right.
The lunar year is based on the solar
right.
year. So it would make sense to take into account the Adarshani and
yeah.
kind of
yeah. Right. So Beis Hillel might do that. Beis Hillel might do that. It would be interesting to explore other if there are other members of Beis Shan and Basil, Gabi Ibar Shanim, that'd be very interesting. But just a thought, Shkar El Fan. Alright, now to get back to this concept, it seems like we have a situation here where we have Dinam D'Oraisa, there being that the Torah already told us you've got to push off this Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, and then Tanaim come and they dispute how that works. So just to figure out the mechanics of this. So I want to back up to Daf Yud Gimel to get into that sugya a little bit. And there'll be a segue into the status of understanding these various halachos on the deraisa level, the rabbanu level, bezman hazeh level. Baruch Shem, the rabbi after is gonna discuss a little bit shviyas bezman hazeh, right? That will be part of the discussion. So we'll just segue into that. So on Yudalad on Beis, the Gemara lists different categories. The Gemara starts off by bringing a braisa that says. We go after Hashrasha, right? By these kitnios, we go after Hashrasha. Then, but Rabba says that by Elon, we both go after Basar Chanata. By Tfu and Zaysim, we go after Shlish, the third groan. By Yerik, we go Basar Lakita. Fine, we'll get on to all those sugis. And the Gemara says, what's the reason why we have to go after Hashrasha when it takes root? Why do we go after kitnios when it takes root? The Gemara says, because otherwise, really, when you harvest kitnios, you harvest them at different intervals. So we're going to get mixed up. What was this year's, what was last year's, etc. Prachin. To avoid that, to keep things simple, not to be Meister, Chadash, and Yash, and Yash, and Chadash, we just go Basar Hashrasha. They're all Nishrasha at the same time. They all took root at the same time. So let's not worry about when they blast them. Let's not worry about when we harvested them. Let's just go after when they took root. Fine. Then the Abaye comes and says, Amalei Abaye, the Yitzbor Gron Lusokho. Let's do a very simple solution. Let's do what one of the Tanayim, Reb Shimon Shazuri suggested. What you do is you mix it all together. You had this year's product and last year's product. You mix it all together. You shake it up. You have one big mixture. And you take out the right percentage. And we'll assume, Yesh Bila, we'll assume that it will be representative of that amount, proportionally, and therefore you've got what you need. So what's the problem? The Gemara ends up saying that it's not necessarily so clear whether we pass in Yesh Bila or not by when it comes
to...
By exactly. In other words, by Yayin Veshemen we definitely say it, but it's not so clear if we do it by salads, and therefore kitnios would fall into the category of salads. Fine. So Rashi points out, Rashi at the end of Dir Maslo Mitoch says the last four lines of Rashi Maslo Mitoch, he says, Umaiser Paris Elon the Kitnios via Yarak Midrabanan. He says Maiser Paris Elon and Kitnios and Yarak are only Midrabanan anyhow. If you're wondering how are we going to rely on this Bible, what are we going to do how does Chacham have the right to back things up and go at Basar Hashrasha? Chor, we have a cloud. You go Basar Kita, you go Basar Gemar Pri, you go Basar Chanata. So Mechitesu, we're going to go Basar Hashrasha. So he says, since these are all Madura Bunin anyhow, Chacham had the right to do it. Come Sosa and ask the obvious Kasha, we're not only talking about Trumas and Maishas here. Tosa says, we're talking about Shemitah also. Shemitah is the Raisa, right? So it's very good. You've resolved the Trumas of Might. You made up your own time, but Ashrasha is going to have huge nafkamin as the Gabi Shemitah. If you look at Ashrasha, and it was Nishrus on the sixth year, it turns out that during the Shemitah year, you're going to be going Basar Lakita, Basar Chanata. For all we know, at the Raisa level, in the eyes of the Torah, you may be being Osek B'Peir Shviz. What's going on here? That's Tosa's Kasha. Tosa has two answers. The first answer is the Shem of Ashish is going to Shvi. Let's say it was Nishrash in the sixth year.
Right.
So if you go Basar Ashrasha, it's Teir Ashishas, or Kitni Ashishas, right? But if really the Torah wants you to go Basar Lakiza,
okay,
then in the seventh year, Lakiza, and you're going to say, oh, these are sixth year produce, you're being like the Shvi, right? That's Tosus Kasher. So Tosus' first answer is about two thirds of the way down. Maybe we pass like Rebbe, who holds that this Gemara is Bizman Hazev. Now we'll get into a comment, right? That we pass like Rebbe, that Shmita is Bizman Hazev, and therefore it's the Rabbanan also. Okay? And then he brings another Unami, Kedetani B'Torahs Kohanim, Minayin L'Orez V'Dokhan U'Pragam V'Shumshin Shefrisho V'Nei Shoshana, Shekonsen Sob Shmita, he brings the Torahs Kohanim. He says, Mefurish Braisa, that brings a Mefurish Pasuk, that we go after our Shrash. Shatam L'Ora, Saftas T'vasa B'Shvis. Right? Okay? Shisha Zarim Shisha Osim, or Shisha Zarim Shiva Osim. So, what Tosa seems to do, he seems to have a Furish Brisa to support that this would work on a Diraisa level also. So, those are Tosa's two answers. But what's interesting is the Ritva brings the sheet of the Raivid. This is source number one on the source sheet. And he brings the Raivid, he says a familiar Yisod. I didn't realize we would say it here either. With a very familiar Yisod. You see it's the fourth to last line in the Ritva, source number one. Va'arayvid zal piresh, the azul rabban and basar ashrasha. The amrin ha'ayu the azul al dina diraisa, shashiur vanyanam ala kasum basar chacham utakin bam kamo shiiru. He says that really, you're right, really we have issues of shmita diraisa. And the Torah says there's shmita diraisa even bizman hazeh, or even the Gemara wasn't bizman hazeh, however you're going to play it out. But Chachamim nevertheless came along, but the Torah came along and said, Chachamim, we're going to leave it up to you to establish the Gobasar, Shrasha, Chanita, Lakita. So your Kaatayz's Kasha was, all right, we have Shemitah to worry, that's fine. Because the Torah mandated, charged Chacham with the ability to determine it. We see this, by, for example, by Chol Moed. We see this by Chameshi Nuyim, some of the Rishonim want to explain. We see this by, in Mesach HaShabbos, we saw this, that the Aruch HaShulch wanted to teach. Oh, the Rambam wanted to say the Torah gave the Chum the ability to determine what Shvisa should mean. So too, the Chiddush, as we say by Hilchos Zeraim also, okay, that just like by those you know saying the Torah says there's a Shmita D'Oraisa, but we're going to allow Chum to draw the line. What's considered sixth year produce? What's considered seventh year produce? So that's the biggest Yisod in Hilchos Zeraim. Okay, the rest of Maamar Komos, I was really going to, maybe I'll just go through quickly, so we'll get into Shmita D'Oraisa. But the Maamar Komos just discussed different things. The Rambam in Hilchos Trumos, this is source number two, talks about the Lagabe Truma, it's only Chal, Bizman Shekol Yisrael Sham. You see what I'm doing? Bizman Shekol Yisrael Sham. When the entire Chal Yisrael is there, that's when Truma is the Yiraisa. But when Chal Yisrael is not, when Kol Chal Yisrael is not there, Truma is Midrabana. Bizman is then, fortunately, Truma be Midrabana. The Rambam goes one step further, third to last line in source number two. Mechin Yiraili, so he equates, he says, therefore it seems to me that Maitros Bizman Hazeh would be equal to Truma, the Bizman Hazeh, it's all the Rabbanan anyhow. Okay? That's one good Maram Bakum, we used to shoot this Rambam. Second Maram Bakum, the Rambam says, in source number three, Rambam started by saying, Kol Ochel Adam, this is Rambam Hilchos Truma, Kol Ochel Adam HaNishmar Shegiduah Menaretz Chaya B'Truma. Right, anything that that's nishmar shigul, okol adam and nishmar, any okol of a person and nishmar. I guess nishmar means that's protected, that people watch it, people grow it. I don't know, cultivate. Yeah, shkaya shigul meharetz chay v'truma. If it grows in the land, it's chay v'truma. Then in halacha vav, the Rambam says, hayirakos. Oh, okay. No, somebody's ownership. Somebody. Okay. Okay. Great. Shkaya. So shkaya. So the Hilchabad, the Rambam says, Yerachos Abish and Michael Adam, Enin Chayavim V'Maitros El Medivrayim. He says, as opposed to what he said, Alcha Aleph, to anything that's Mishmar Gedul Medarit is Chayav, the exception is Yerachos. That's by Meiser. And he says, that's the din also by Truma. In the third to last line, Mechen Yerishu Adin B'Truma. Now I just want to point out that our Tosis and our Masechta disagrees. Tosis in Yud Gimel Amin Aleph, Yer Masel De Ikrabu, I'm sorry, in Yud Beis Amin Aleph, Toshin Yebezin al-Dur Maskel Tana says the only, if you see in the second to last mid-sized line I'm just going to get the ideas out there, so I'm skipping around quickly. Those it says in the second to last mitzvah line, the only things that are midiraisa are dogon v'sirush v'yitzar. So according to Tosos, even mice and truma of fruit would not be diraisa. And as we just saw it in Rashi on the Gimel and Beis also, the Rashi I read before says peros se'ilon kinyos v'yarek midrabanan. Right. So the Rambam seems to hold that vegetables are excluded, are midrabanan. Everything else is diraisa. At least Rashi and Tosos, I don't know how mice that would pass in these young. They could be big nafkaminas, but Rashi and Tosos seem to be everything. Seems to hold everything is midrabanan except for dogon and sirush v'yitzar. Okay. Another quick idea I want to get at there. The Rambam. The other big idea that it's good to know, Hilchos Maisa is a source number 4, that the Rambam says that source number 4, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, Eino Chayav B'Hafrish Min HaTorah Ela Gomer Perosa V'Ochon La'atzmo. The only din of Afrashim is your eyes when you do it for yourself, when you're cultivating and bringing it to your house for yourself. However, Aval Gomer L'Machor, if you're selling, if you're bringing them to the Shuk to sell, Pata Min HaTorah V'Chayav Medivrayan. So the din of all these halachas are only when you're doing it for yourself. When you do it to put on the market, both the mocha and the locha bases, the lokeach, are only chai midrabanan. Okay? So, I want to just point out this halacha. So, a few things to say about it. First of all, it comes out, you know, when we hack, there's not psak or even opinion, but it's interesting to just put things in perspective. There's all the hack in Eretz Yisrael about the rabbanut, hashgachas. We have to realize what we're dealing with, right? We're dealing with three drabanans. First of all, you're going to a restaurant, you're going to a shuk, you're going to buy it, drabanan. Second of all, according to the Rambam, bizman hazeh, drabanan. Third of all, except for the Rambam by fruit and by vegetables, everybody, we're talking three to abundance here. Okay? So that could be a clue of how you want to look at things, alright? That's just like I said, just yeah. What? Right? Nobody knows who's giving this chabur, right? Fine. So that's one
on the wall you tore, it's under my name. You got a switch?
No.
Okay, you want to thank the having
I can go to YU, that's why.
Fine. So, just want to put things in perspective. But I want to point out, in Shavuot Shachal Yom Ma'atzmut, it's a cool Habali de Chumra, though. Because what's one of the big reasons why people say, I can't live in Eretz Yisrael? The famous Rabbeinu Chaim in Ksuvis, right? What is Rabbeinu Chaim in Ksuvis? And now, Bizman is there. What? Chaim Gaon, right? Right, exactly. He said, what's the reason why people don't live in Eretz Yisrael? Bizman is there. Chaim, right? So, he says, because of all the mitzvahs, the police words, you're playing with fire. But now that we're explaining that these mitzvahs, maybe, right? Shemitah once again, we'll reserve for the rabbi in a moment, but all these other mitzvahs are on the Rabbanah level. Maybe nowadays it's not so shver to live in Israel. You know, you're playing with the Rabbanah, three Rabbanah. So, you know, you do a little bit of due diligence, you make sure no stakers. Maybe that cool goes away. Okay. The final thing I just wanted to point out in the Rambam is source number 8. The Rambam, going back to the Tzugi, the Rambam seems to say over here that we do what Shmuel says. Right? Shmuel ends up saying that we do not go Basar HaShrasher by the Kinyos. We go after the Gemara Pri. Okay? The Rambam paskins that way, and the Rambam also seems to pass on Yerub Shim and Shizuri. That we do the Bilo, we do the mixture. Okay, the notes that came, the Rabbi asked in the Rambam, what do you mean? We see in Zvachim that you don't do Bilo. So once again, these are Halachas Durabonin. Since Halachas Durabonin, maybe it's more Shayach to do the Bilo. Second of all, the other Kashi asked him is Yerub Shim and Shizuri himself says you go Basar HaShrasher. Right? So today I'll just point you to the last source, which I didn't put a number on it, the source number 9. The Ritzel brings down the Baal Mor, Raza Levi, the Reb Shimon Shizuri Ozo Basel Akita. Contrary to what's mashing the Gemara, in reality, Reb Shimon Shizuri Paskins, because he holds you could do Bila, you can mix it all together, he really does go Basel Akita, not Basel Ashrasha. So it seems to be that the Rambam may agree with the Baal Mor, that really he passes Reb Shimon Shizuri, that he allows Bila because it's only at the Rabbanan level, and therefore, he's able to say that even by these kinyos, you go basar lakita. Now, as I began a moment ago, just discussed, I texted the rabbi earlier, you know, that about whether Shmi is bizman is there. That was the whole topic for itself, so go ahead.
We're going to keep it to 10 minutes.
Okay.
So you'll give me the 2-minute warning, but hopefully we'll finish at the usual time of 9:15. So this is obviously a much bigger topic. Last year, at the beginning of the year in Elul, mm-hmm. I gave three hour long shurim, so we'll reduce the 3-hour long shurim into 3-minute summaries. And basically, generally, a background, the other Rishonim, and then we'll try to save the last few minutes for the complicated Shitas HaRambam. In general, as you may know, there is a machlokes and a number of masechtas and shas about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. even though there was a churban and a dispersion and a galus, etc., does the kedusha still stand or not? That seems to be a machlokas, and it's a machlokas seems to be had a paskin. The Rambam has the position, which is the most one that's usually considered accepted la halacha according to most rishonim, and that is the kedusha rishona was batel, and therefore in the interim period there was no kedusha. The kedusha shniya, when they returned in Ezra in the second place of Migdash, that was not batel. Why should there be a difference? In the Gemara, there's no indication of such. So the Rambam has this famous Kiddush, which is famous and cryptic at the same time, that it depends on how they were generated. The first Kiddusha was generated by Kibush, to conquer the land. So when someone conquered us, it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. We lost the Kiddusha. As opposed to the second Kiddusha, which was what he calls Chazaka. We were given permission by Koresh, etc., and we went up. Now, this is not at all taken self-evident, not only because the Rambam seems to make it up, but because it's very difficult to understand all the achronim are bothered, why should one be better than the other, and we lost, you know, and if kibush is enough to ruin the you know, what the first kiddusha, why isn't enough to ruin the second kiddusha, and there's a big discussion in the Meshach Chachma, and that's Slach, and the Rav, and the whole Torah. But that's the first background. The first building block is that famous Machlokas. And as I said, the Rambam Paskin is the kiddusha Shniyah, is Kayim Leolam. And the simple understanding is that all the various halachos, Truma, Shmita, Meiser, etc., there's no reason to distinguish, L'chora, they should all flow from the Machlokas. If you hold that the Kedusha is still Bezman Azeh, presumably you'd hold that these halachos are Daraisa. If you hold the Kedusha is Bazel, you'd hold that these mitzvahs are Omir Rabbanon. The fact that of all people, the Rambam holds the Kedusha is Kayim, would, prima facie, lead us to assume that the Rambam would also hold that these mitzvahs are Noheg, even Bezman Hazem Midaraisa. That's building block number one. Building block number two, which was alluded to by Shraga and the excellent Chabura, is the Shita of Rebbe. There's a Shita of Rebbe that's quoted in a number of places, both in the Babli and in the Yerushalmi, that Rebbe says that Bezman Hazem Shemitah Zerabanan. And that was alluded to by Tosus, the Shraga quoted. The question, which is not necessarily obvious in the Gemaras or from the Rishonim, is why does Rebbe think it is Midarabanan? So here we have a machlokas in Rishonim and perhaps even in Talmudim, or Talmud, I guess. And that is the following. Rashi, based on his understanding of the Gemara Moed Katan and Gittin, where this comes up, Rashi seems to say very clearly that Rebbe is of the opinion, like we said until now, he happens to be of the opinion that Kedusha Shniyah is Botel. Kedusha Shniyah is Botel, so then everything is only Midah Rabbanan afterwards. Of course, if that's correct, Pshat in Rebbe, well, since we reject Rebbe in that case and hold that the Kedusha is Bezman Hazeh still strong, presumably we would hold that Shemitah would be Daraisa. That's one possible understanding of Rebbe. It's the neatest and cleanest. It may not be the right one, but that is Rashi's understanding.
No, according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, it would be...
We reject Rebbe, but that's
right.
Okay.
Right.
The Shaila is whether that's really Pshat in Rebbe. And in fact, if you take a look at the Yerushalmi, there it's clear that that's not really Rebbe's Shita. The Rebbe is throwing in a whole new ingredient. And as the Rebbe understands, time does not permit the development of this, the Rebbe understands that there's a hekesh between Shemitah particularly and Yovel in particular. Namely, we don't look at everything, Truma, Meiser, Yovel, Shemitah, all together. We can differentiate. And in particular, Rebbe held, or in general we hold, I take that, in general we hold, it's the Gemara in Erchin, that in addition to the Kedusha of the land, there's a special condition for, Yovel, known as Bias Kulcha, or Kol Yoshvei Aleha. Namely, that you need to have either all, or at least a majority, or some say you even need a representation of every tribe. The different shitas to what that means. But you need some representation, if not literally, then figuratively, or symbolically, of all of the tribes of Klal Yisrael there. So the Gemara Erechin already says, it seems like from already the time of the second base of Mikdash. Forget our days. Even the time of the second base of Mikdash, according to some understanding of Gemara, there was no Yovel Midaraisa. Okay, in light of that, Rebbe learns the hekesh from Yovel to Shemitah, and Rebbe holds, if Yovel ain't going to be Daraisa, then Shemitah can't be Daraisa. And that is certainly a very plausible explanation for Rebbe Shita, and that seems to be, Rabbeinu Tam seems to learn that way, and others, and again, it's part of a big discussion, is there really a connection between Yovel and Shemitah, but the Yerushalmi in Rebbe seems to assume yes. And that is certainly one big understanding. So before we get to the Rambam for a second, that leads to basically, other than the Rambam we'll get to, who is even more complicated, the big, there's a machlokas where the Rambam fits, but there's basically three shitas However, the names you could get confused. But the basic three shittas that you need, or basic shittas you need to know about three shittas about Shemitah nowadays are the following. The Balamor and the Ravid. It's interesting you quoted the Ravid there. I think he's just explaining Rebbe because the he's rejecting Rebbe because there you said something about the Raisa, right? You quoted Ritva.
Well, he was just saying he compares the intervals of Chum decided for these and Yonim.
Didn't he say something about the
Raisa? Like Chol Moed or no? He just says that
Adina da Raisa.
He's not getting
the
Shemitah.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, the point is, The Ravid is, and this is a Sagos on the Rift, The Ravid is of the position, along with the Baal Lamor, that we paskin like Rebbe, whatever reason, we paskin like Rebbe, therefore there is no Shemitah nowadays at all. I, for so many years, somebody seems to be keeping Shemitah. It's not even the Rabbanan, they hold it to Midas Chassidus. And that Shita is quoted as Shraga was Machavin. Not that we're just like passing like them, but in the tshuvas that discuss Hatar Mechira v'chulei, these Rishonim are quoted as a Snifla Hakel. Even if you don't passing like them, but you have to realize, according to some prominent Rishonim, it's not even the Rabbanim. It's a Minhag Chassidus. That's one Shita on one extreme. The other extreme is the Ramban. The Ramban holds, the Ramban holds that Shemitah B'zman is the Rabbanim, and the reason that he holds is the Rabbanim, I'm sorry, take it all back. I was right. I was reading my own notes. I'm sorry. Jet lag still. The Ramban holds that the other extreme is that we paskin like the Rabbanon who reject Rebbe. And therefore, if we reject Rebbe, and we assume that Kedusha B'Zman is still Kayim, says the Ramban, Shemitah nowadays is the Oraisa. And some of the big machmirim on the Shemitah Shalas nowadays, not only do they quote the Ramban, they try to show maybe it's even more than the Ramban. But generally speaking, this is also considered to be a minority view. The overwhelming majority of Rishonim, Sefer Achinuch, Sefer Yireim, and we'll see what the Rama holds in a second, hold that we paskin like Rebbe. Therefore, Shemitah B'Tzmanazah isn't the Araisa, but it's still a Chiyuv. It's a Chiyuv, Midr Rabbanon. So you have the three Shitas, Midas Chassidus, the Araisa, and the Rabbanon in the middle. The question of the Rambam is in part connected to everything we said. And of course, the fact that the Rambam holds Kedusha Shniya is still Kayim is relevant. But there's a number of Rambams, which I'll try to summarize, we have 5 minutes. There's a number of Rambams in which he seems to contradict himself, contradict Gemaras. It's very, very, very Mesubach and very, very complicated. As I said, on the one hand, we already said, the Rambam holds that Kedusha Saaretz seems to be completely operative and uninterrupted. Furthermore, the Rambam says in Perek Dalid of Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, the Shemitah is no Hague, Bifnei Abayis, Ubein Shiloh Bifnei Abayis. The famous line of the Rambam. So, Bapashtus, and this is how the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam, he's holding that it clearly Shemitah is Zvan Zadaraisa, Zvan Bifnei Abayis, Shiloh Bifnei Abayis. And it makes sense, because Rambam holds that Kedusha is still here, so why shouldn't Shemitah still be here? Either there's a Rebbe out there, okay, so maybe he rejects Rebbe. You know, that's not the answer. If we only had that, we wouldn't have to sweat. However, on the other hand, the Rambam says that explicitly that Shmitas Ksofim is only Mirabanan because of Rebbe, because of Yovel. Well, the connection to Yovel, because Yovel's not the rice anymore, therefore Shmitas Ksofim is also not the rice, it's only the Rabbanan. So hold on 1 second. Are we going to split Shmitas Ksofim for Shmitas Karka? There's no Makor to do that.
It's not like Rebbe.
And that, if you assume that it's all or nothing, then that contradicts the first Rambam I just mentioned, where he says, that's one level of complication. Furthermore, there's other Rambams in Parak Yud of Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel that seem to imply that there might be Shmitas Karka and Shmitas Ksavim, even without Yovel, also against Rebbe. So we have two Rambams against Rebbe, one with him. It's a whole contradiction. So there are some, like the Keses Mishnah, and the Aruch HaShulchan, they hold that the Rambam and Perek Dalet is the Iker. The Shemitah B'Zman Hazeh is the Araisa Bein Shiloh B'Fnei Abayis also. And they, Bedokik, read all of the other Rambams as just referring to Shemitah's Ksafim. Now, why you should have a split decision, that would be a separate shear. But that there, difficult reading. And, you know, when you have difficult evidence, it's not, even a difficult shot is an impressive accomplishment. So nothing to be embarrassed about. It's not perfect, but it's a forced You got to pick contradictory evidence. You pick one dominant source and explain the others in light of that. That's the Kesef Mishnah's approach. And again, that is quoted even in Halacha Svarim nowadays as a big chumrah that you have the Beis Yosef holding that according to the Rambam it is Daraisa. The last point I'll mention, which is in the yeshiva is the most famous, is the Shita of the Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim is a big piece by Reb Chaim Brisker in the Sefer, in the Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel Perek Yud Beis, where in order to answer three contradictory Rambams, he introduces two more. Why not? So, if once three is a crowd, what's the difference of adding two more? So first of all, he points out that the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira has a very enigmatic lashon. He says, nowadays, we're still chayiv in Shemitah and Truma. He equates the two. Like I said in Hilchos Trumas. What's the Hilchos Trumas that he's quoting? It's very weird and very rare for him to quote himself anyway. The Hilchos Trumas is one that Shraga quoted. Now, what's bizarre is, number one, in that Rambam, Shraga didn't leave anything out. He doesn't say anything about Shemitah there.
Right.
He only talks about Shemitah. And there, Truma.
And he goes that way to say Maishas also.
Correct. And there he says that Truma Bizman Hazeh is the Rabbanon because of Kisavohu, which equals Bias Kulcham. Now this is, Bias Kulcham is not the same thing as Kisavohu. Those are different phrases. So this is now even more complicated and confused. And Reb Chaim tries to bring it all together and says the following. Says there's a difference between Kol Yoshevel Aleha, Pasuk of Yovel, and Kisavohu, which is a Pasuk in Shemitah, which the Rambam in Hilchos Trumas, without mentioning Shemitah, applies to Trumas. Mm-hmm. For the record, this is so confusing that when Rav Shechter decided, for whatever reason, to quiz me on all of this as part of my Kol Elyon Mechina, I got completely verblundered. And if you know Rav Shechter, Shlita, he keeps a very, forgive the phrase, poker face. And instead of letting me know that I was making a fool of myself, he waited until I completely made a fool of myself. Before he pointing out that I was confusing what was Pasuk by Truma, what was by Challah, what was by my Shemitah. So I hope at least by now, for 10 years later, that I have it a little bit straighter than I had it when I had this Bechina with him. But anyway, in my own defense, if you're familiar at all with the phenomenon, there is no curriculum for the Bechina. When you sit down with him, all of Shas is potentially on the Bechina. So it wasn't like I could study. So and he took me across various Sidrei Shas, but he had a fondness for Zeroyim, at least for half an hour of my Bechina. So anyway, thankfully I've emerged from my shell with years of therapy to be basically a good person. Anyway, so the Reb Chaim points out that what's going on is as follows. Kisavau, which is Kol Yoshevel, which is a pasuk by Yovel, that you don't have Yovel unless everyone's there, Kol Yoshevel, says that's not a fundamental patur, or a fundamental requirement. It's an agav, an incidental one. Even though fundamentally, in terms of Kedusha, etc., there should be Yovel, technically, alatzad, there's a patur when you don't have, there's a patur gavra when you don't have Kol Yoshevel, even though fundamentally, Eretz Yisrael could still be Mechayev Yovel. But that's the special patur the Gemara Erchon understands of Yovel. However, he says, the heter of Kisavou / Bias Kulchem, that's much more fundamental. Le'inyin Kedusha Sa'aretz for Truma, the Rambam's telling us, and Hilchos Trumas, the one that was Shraga read before, Le'inyin Kedusha Sa'aretz for that, fundamentally there's no Chiyuv unless you have Bias Kulchem. You would have thought, and certainly this is the intuitive approach, either you have Kedusha or you don't have Kedusha. But Reb Chaim understands that in the Rambam that you have Kedusha Le'inyan X, Kedusha Le'inyan Y. And therefore you may fundamentally have Kedusha for other things. The Rambam of all people is what it says, Kedusha Shnia is still Kayim.
So
but Le'inyan Truma, you need fundamentally to have Bias Kulchem. It's a very fascinating thing. It's like a Shidduch or a Shutvus between the Jews and their Bon Shalom. He puts his Kedusha in, but he needs us to show up there too. And without Bias Kulchem, you do not have a Kedusha to be Mechayiv on a Daraisa level Truma. As opposed to Yovel, which fundamentally there's enough Kedusha, there's just this technical side, tech-tour. Fundamentally, he said, there is no Kedusha for that. And once the Rambam knew that, so to speak, Rambam springboarded from that and said, well, if the source of that is a pasuk by Shemitah, and it's therefore true about Truma, Mistama, it's also true about where it came from, namely Shemitah. And therefore, as a result, you go from here to here, you're back in Shemitah, as a result of there not being Bias Kulchem, Hisavau. Therefore, fundamentally, the Indian Shemitah, even though the Rambam holds Kedusha Shnia is Kayam, but the Indian Shemitah, and we now also Truma, and we now also Meiser, there's a Chisaron in the Kedusha. There is Kedusha. Kedusha Shnia is Kayam. But it's not a full Kedusha. Full Kedusha is a partnership. I'm resisting the urge to go Agadic here, but there is a partnership between Klal Yisrael showing up, Bias Kulchem, and the natural, innate Kedusha. And therefore, fundamentally, even though there should be Kedusha, and therefore it should be Daraisa, Rambam is of the opinion, according to Reb Chaim, against the Ketzer Mishnah, that Shemitah nowadays is only Mirabanan, because we're lacking in Bias Kulchem. That is the Shita of Rambam. That part is true, but how you get there with all the five Rambams and the various Sukkim, what's borrowed, what's not borrowed, what's in Challah, the Pasuk by Yovel is really from Challah, the Pasuk by Truma is really in Shemitah, is a very, very confusing Parsha. But there's a Reb Chaim if you want to go through that's worthy of doing. And again, it's worth noting that the Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid and the Ketzer Mishnah disagree anyway. They hold that the Rambam is really being right, so based on Parak Dalet.
But Bizman Azed, according to everybody in the Rambam.
No.
Oh,
okay. No, the Ketzer Mishnah.
Okay, the Mishnah.
The Ketzer Mishnah and the Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid.
Right.
Two major poskim. Right. Oh,
it's Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid?
Yeah, the Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid also says it's a little bit different, but basically the same thing. Yeah.
Okay, Bizman is right. Okay.
Okay? That's my contribution.
Shkoyer.
I'm happy to be playing second act at Toronto.
Yeah.